allow public comment on each item. So if you have something you'd like to speak to that's not on the current agenda, now would be the time to do that. Please come forward to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and try to limit your comments to 3 minutes. Thank you.
Good evening, JPA. I'd like to bring the attention to you and the citizens at home. An article in the Bay News today, it'll save a little time, and it basically talks about the future. And I hope you get the opportunity this week to maybe get a copy of the free newspaper. And it talks about the future, and I think the parallel is that people are putting solar panels on their roof because they know that it'll pay them back in the future. And my contention is that if we properly relocate the plant and the income from some of the other sources will help us offset the cost in the future. It's a very close simile, a metaphor, and I hope that all of you will get a chance to read it, and the citizens at home. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. Anyone else? Joan?
Good evening, Joint Committee, and thank you so much for taking my comment. My name is Joan Solu, and I am a resident of Morro Bay and a business owner, a hotel owner there. I have about 22 years of experience in the hotel and lodging industry, and I have been an executive at two major hotel corporations, both publicly and privately held, and have owned three hotels over the years in Morro Bay. I want to comment on a letter to the editor in this week's Bay News. The author said that a new facility would cost $61 million. That's not totally accurate. The cost to build the plant, according to the Dudick Fine Screening report, was $30 million. The 30-year cost to operate the plant is $61 million over 30 years. What was not mentioned in the letter was the cost of the other two out-of-town locations that were studied. A plant on the Chevron property would cost $52 million to build and $105 million to operate for 30 years. The Rigetti property was $42 million to build and $90 million to operate over 30 years. The author mentions selling the water to farmers, the school district, the golf course. It's my understanding that none of the farmers have shown interest in buying the treated water. Both the high school and the golf course use non-potable water for irrigation, which currently costs them a fraction of what treated water would cost. Based on my professional experience in the lodging industry, the current site is ill-suited for a boutique hotel, of which I run one, without making the surrounding area more attractive. Some of the things that would have to change for an investor to want to develop the property would be the travel trailer park. While it is well run and the existing park is attractive, it's still a travel trailer park and would not be suitable to have a boutique hotel next to. The city-owned property, which it neighbors, is under a long-term lease. The city could try and buy out the existing lease, but since the term of the lease goes well into the next decade and the business is profitable, the owner could command a significant price for that. The city yard would need to be moved, where the city limits the equivalent amount. Where in the city limits would you find an equivalent amount of land to move the city yard? The concrete plant would basically have to go away. The desalination plant, thank you, allows the city to process Morro Valley water so it meets drinking water standards. It would be almost impossible to move that. Who is going to pay to make these improvements to the surrounding properties? Building the new plant on the existing property is the most fiscally responsible thing to do for the ratepayers, the citizens of Morro Bay and the citizens of Cayucas. I encourage you to keep moving forward. Thank you for taking my comment.
Thank you, Joan. Anyone else?
Hi, my name is Jennifer Blonder. I'm the vice chair of the Surfrider Foundation, San Luis Obispo chapter. I'm going to keep it short and sweet, but I think when it comes to building a new treatment plant, it's important that you really consider the environment and what's best for our future. And I liken it to putting duct tape on a tire that's flat. It's not really that effective. It might work right away, but even though the cost might be a little bit more, I think that you should really consider the effect, if you do put more money into this, in the future, what it's going to mean for your community, for our coastal environment.
We're seeing the results of what happened in Japan. You know, they were told a nuclear power plant right there on the water was cool. Obviously wasn't. I wrote an appeal letter to the Coastal Commission that was accepted based on tsunami, inundation, coastal access for the public in case something happens, and several other reasons. The Coastal Commission accepted that appeal. I urge you guys strongly to look at what the environment's going to... Mother Nature is not something we're going to win over. Please listen to Mother Nature.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone else? All right, we'll go then to item A, consent calendar. Would anyone like to pull either of the separate minute items for separate discussion? Okay, we'll do them one at a time then. Item A1, minutes of January 12th, 2012. Vice Mayor Johnson, would you like to have Morro Bay make a motion on that?
There we go. Thank you very much. All right. May I hear a motion on the minute for the minutes of January 12th, 2012, please?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, passes 4-0.
Okay, Cayucas, motion to approve the January 12th JPA meeting minutes.
I move that we approve the January 12th meeting minutes.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Aye. Motion carries. Item A2. Nancy, do you want to do that one?
Sure. The minutes of March 8th, did somebody want to make a correction to those? Or shall we vote on them?
Well, I move approval.
Thank you.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Cayucas, same motion, please.
I move approval of the March 8th meeting minutes.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Next item is item A3, status report on current biosolids practices. You do have a report in your packet. Bruce, would you like to start the discussion on this, please?
Thank you. At the last JPA meeting, there was questions raised concerning the current biosolids handling operations at the treatment plant. The staff report that was put together was intended to give you a brief overview of how we handle solids at the plant and what the ultimate fate is and the volume of that material. We currently use all the solids that we capture at the treatment plant are currently treated using anaerobic digestion. The solids, after they've gone through the digestion process, are placed into one of our sludge drying beds. We solar dry them, and we stockpile them on site, and approximately once a year we contract with a firm, Liberty Composting, to haul that material to their composting facility in Lost Hills. There was questions raised about the price. We're currently paying $42.70 a wet ton for that material, and that price has remained stable for the last several years. I put a table in there that covers the summary of our biosolids production at the plant from 2007 to 2011, giving the total tons produced, the hauling cost on an annual basis, the number of truck trips that it takes to get that material to Lost Hills, and then it talks a little bit about the composting project that we had on site. That composting project for our biosolids has currently been discontinued due to the upgrade process. But we were able, as you see in the table there, we were able to compost anywhere from about 37 to 47% of the solids that we produced on site. I noted in the report that the composting project was very successful. We had a lot of people that wanted that material. In terms of composting 100% of the solids we generate, the main limiting factor in our composting process was a brief description about pollutant concentrations and how often we test. Our material is very clean. If you were to look at a lot of other communities, we don't have a lot of industry, so we do pick up a few trace metals, but overall our material is really exceptional quality. So with that, I'll just open it up for questions.
Morrill Bay, would you like to start your questions?
Does anyone have questions for Bruce?
I do.
Yes, Mr. Smuckler.
Okay, thank you for this report, Mr. Keough. A couple of questions that I had is the report seems to focus on our current practices, and as part of our discussion at the last meeting, I'm thinking more of our long-term plan with the new proposed plants as we have in the EIR and as has been proposed to the Coastal Commission. And within that, as far as I understand, our current design that we're moving forward with the loss of the digesters will not be compatible with the biosolids composting operation as we see it.
The design as currently projected does not include anaerobic digestion. The solids that come out of an ox ditch are slightly different than what you might find in what you'd find coming out of an anaerobic digester. It's not to say that it couldn't be composted, but there could be an odor and vector issues that we would have to investigate as we move down the path. I think there are people, I think Ojai is currently composting ox ditch sludge.
Okay. So design would be a limiting factor in our proposed project. And then, of course, space becomes the largest limiting factor because of the constraints that we have with the proposed site down on the beach. Would you agree with that?
I think space could be a potential constraint. I think that's a real concern. My real feeling is that no matter what plant is built, the operators will take that and try and maximize both treatment efficiency as well as how we handle things, and our goal will be to minimize costs and maximize what we can do with whatever we're given.
Within our limitations.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, and then so for the public, I just wanted to talk a little bit about your graph here for those at home. We have from 2007 to 2011 our number of truck trips per year hauling because of either the composting operation, our drying abilities on site, have ranged from 3 per year to 8 per year. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think in past years we've had as many as 10 or 12 trips, depending on how much we produced in a year. We cleaned a digester, we had more solid, so we'd have a couple extra truck trips.
For the entire year. So my concern, and this is why I was raising this at the last meeting, is according to our draft EIR, you go into the document there, which is based on the proposed project that we're moving forward through the Coastal Commission, and you get to the chapter that talks about the hauling operations, and it's in here very clearly. It says, depending on the time of year, up to 18 truck trips per week would be required for off-site disposal of all screenings, grit, and sludge produced at the new plant. So I'm concerned that we're being presented information here that makes it appear that we're going to be able to continue approximately the number of truck trips that we are somewhat used to, when in fact we're going from 8 per year approximately to 12 per, or up to 18 per week. And I'm I'd like to hear your comments about that, because to me that seems like a very significant increase.
Well, I believe the last agenda item when I was instructed to bring the staff report was actually the current biosolids, what we're doing currently, but I will be happy to weigh in on that. In the EIR, under the what I have here on page 2.6 is that you could have up to 10 truck trips per week for hauling sludge under average conditions and up to 16 truck trips per week under peak seasonal dry weather flow. That is at the maximum build-out capacity of 1.5 MGD. I spoke with our design engineer at MWH, and to get a little more background on that, the truck trips that he anticipated used a 10-yard bin, when in fact the trucks that we're using right now are 30 yards, and I would anticipate that we would be hauling in 30-yard containers. So I think you can take the number of truck trips and reduce that probably by a third if you use 30-yard containers. And I also talked to Pismo Beach, and the design that we're looking at is very similar to what Pismo Beach is doing, and I'm pretty sure our loadings, our organic loadings, are fairly similar to theirs. They're currently treating about 1.2 MGD. They're hauling two truckloads per week, end of it, that they're trying to work out. But literally, their process would be pretty much identical to what we have envisioned in the project design.
Okay. So I thank you again for putting this together. I think it is important to recognize that this EIR was developed considering the worst-case scenarios, because that's essentially what we have to be prepared for. And I think it's an important thing for the board to keep in mind, because we all know where the cost of fuel and energy is going. And again, the local biosolids composting has provided stability for our communities for a long time, and it is concerning to me to see us moving away from that sort of self-sufficiency. So I think it's worth continuing to keep this discussion alive and keep that in mind as we go forward. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Are there further questions or comments from Morro Bay? Seeing none, we'll send it back to you. Oh, Carlos is on. No. Sorry.
Okay, any questions from the Cayucas board? Seeing none, I would just question, Nova, whether your concept was that we would compost 100% of what we developed on site. Is that what we're talking about?
As far as going forward into the future? You know, what I wanted to bring up for the discussion was what we have on the table currently. I'm not suggesting any specific adjustments at this point, but as a board, it's very important for us to keep in mind what is likely, if permitted, going to occur with our biosolids handling and what we're setting ourselves up to be depending on and committed to. So it was more of a discussionary item. I'm not suggesting that we rearrange the whole design or start to try to pinpoint key changes, but I think it's important for us to keep this in mind, and if there are opportunities for us to build in more facility that has less dependence on hauling, that would most likely be of value to the community for the long-range operation costs.
Okay, thank you. Well, the first thing that occurred to me when these numbers came up was that it looks like we're going to be doing a lot better job of taking the sludge out of the water, and I'm assuming that's in the process of treating to tertiary. So it looks to me like we're doing a much better job in treating the product that we're given, but it's creating this problem on the other end for us, is how to haul away all this stuff we've taken out of the water. I know that recently, there's been discussion in the county about making a regional composting facility, and I would certainly look forward to seeing if that was something the county could establish, or someone in the county could establish, and that would certainly cut down the distance that the trucks had to drive and maybe make all this a little more feasible. Any other questions or comments? Any other questions or comments from Morro Bay?
Sorry, I would like to say that I think the situation that we're in as far as the commitment to hauling is not just created by the increased treatment technology and the amount of solids that we're removing from the flow, but also because of our space constraints and design. Those are the two key limiting factors that I see.
Any other comments? Bruce? No? Okay. I don't believe there's any action required on this item.
Will you take a comment from the public?
Oh, thank you. I told you to remind me. Appreciate it. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you. My name is Betty Winholtz, and I want to thank Councilmember Smuckler for bringing this issue forward, because it is of some important information, I think, has been raised in terms of the number of trips that are seen in this table compared to what is in the draft design. And it is a startling contrast in terms of quantity of trips and also in terms of product. I did want to ask Mr. Keough, or if someone would, within the table of our current process, it does jump around from 200 or 300 up to 400 back to 144 or something like that. And I'm curious as to why that's happening in the last couple of years. And I think it's real important to, and I think maybe I'm echoing what Mr. Smuckler said, that we be reminded, as Mr. Keough explained, that this is in terms of the size of the truck that hauls this away, the number of trips. So even if you're going from 8 a year to 100 a year, that's dramatic. And that is certainly an increased cost that I hope will be reflected in the document that's produced for us.
Of what you would be doing, because really the plant that they have down there is really is kind of a mirror of what we had designed, only they don't have tertiary treatment. But the volume of solids coming out of the tertiary process won't be large enough to really affect that figure. And should I ask, can I answer Betty's other question about change in volumes? Yeah, it always surprises me when I look at the total tons. Some of it is due to loading, some of it's due to operational issues. If we clean a digester, we get more solids. Now, we have not cleaned a digester since, I think, 2006 or 5, so it's kind of, and a little bit maybe, it just is how we account for the annual total, and it's always a running total because we never stop producing. It's not a discrete amount, but generally we monitor from May to June. And like I say, we could have less loadings, we could have rainy years, we could have where we actually have more throughput of water, but we have a dilution of the solids. So it's kind of hard to pin it down. Probably the best, what I probably should have done at the bottom, is put an average in there, because that's probably a better way to look at that, the total tonnage figure.
Any other comments on this item? Okay, seeing none. Before we take item B2, I want to apologize to Rick down here at the other end of the table. Our former district manager has resigned, and the Cayucas board has hired Rick Kuhn to be our new district manager. Rick is second from the end down here, and Rick, I just ask you to say hi and maybe make a little bit of background for us so people know where you're coming from.
Thank you. My background, Cal Poly Mechanical Engineering, civil engineering for a local civil engineer for quite a few years. Building projects, I actually worked on the Cloisters project, several other subdivisions around the county. For the last 7 years, I've been general manager of San Miguelito Mutual Water Company, and now I'm here, and I look forward to contributing to this process. So, thank you.
Thank you, Rick, and I apologize for not doing that earlier in the evening. With that, we'll take item B2, status report on services provided by McCabe & Company. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. We'll do B1 first. Status report on the upgrade project. Dennis, are you going to do that one?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Good evening, council members and board members. Activities during March were mainly centered on submittal of the various reports that we've submitted to the Coastal Commission staff and attempting to find out from them when they're going to schedule the de novo hearing, the final hearing for our coastal development permit. We have posted the reports on the website. During the past, in fact, to date, we've had meetings with our coastal planner, Susan McCabe, and met with four coastal commissioners to review the project with them, give them a project overview, and help them get acquainted with the project and understand and communicate with them about the overall picture of our project. We have one more interview or briefing meeting scheduled tomorrow. I did address the Coastal Commission today to give them an update on the project in their meeting in Ventura, and also told them that we've submitted the reports that have been required by their staff, and we've been working diligently to satisfy all of the questions and concerns that were raised by the Coastal Commission, and we were hoping for a Coastal Commission de novo hearing in June, which will be in Huntington Beach. One of the Coastal Commissioners then asked the Executive Director if it had been scheduled yet. He said no, but it will be in the next couple of months. So I think we still have some chance of having it scheduled in June. There's no guarantees. If it doesn't occur in June, I would anticipate that it would be in August, and I believe that Coastal Commission hearing is scheduled for Santa Cruz. As far as fiscal impact, there are no new expenses or expenditures requested as a part of this status report. So thank you. And
Betty, you're supposed to remind me to do public comment. Thank you. Any comments from the public? Richard?
Richard Margetson, Cayucas. Which, if you can tell us, which commissioners did you meet with already? And who's the commissioner you're meeting? Excuse me. You're meeting with next, and are you planning on trying to hit all of them? That's my question. Oh, is it on? Is it on?
It's not.
Okay, sorry. I've got a sore throat tonight. My question is, which commissioners did you meet with? What's the commissioner's name that you're going to meet with tomorrow or whenever you said? And are you planning on meeting with the rest of the commissioners before the hearing? And is Ms. McCabe going to be present at all those meetings?
Ms. McCabe has been present and would, in fact, is the person who arranges for the meetings because she has personal familiarity and contact with each of the commissioners, having been a former coastal commissioner herself. We do not know whether we're going to be able to meet with all 12 commissioners. Some of the commissioners prefer not to meet to discuss these issues, so that's a question I can't give the answer to. We've met with four. We have one more, and the commissioners prefer actually that, and each of them have expressed that they prefer not to have the detailed discussions of these meetings made public. They do at their meetings disclose who they've met with, though that's their ex parte requirement, which they do at every meeting.
So, which are the commissioners that you have met with?
Well, we've met with Commissioner Blank, Mitchell, Brennan, Bloom, and Kinsey is the one we're meeting with tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. Any other comments from Morro Bay or Cayucas? If not, we'll take item B2, status report on the services of McCabe & Company. I think this goes back to you again, Dennis.
Yes, thank you. At the last JPA meeting, the City Council and District Board asked me to bring back a status report on the services of Susan McCabe & Company. As I had mentioned earlier, Susan McCabe and her assistant are both active and have been active in preparation of briefing materials, and those briefing materials are posted on the website. They consist of PowerPoint slides, and the purpose is to provide an overview of our project status report, give the commissioners an opportunity to understand the essence of the project. They get reams and reams of staff reports and information, and so in our meetings with the coastal commissioners, they've indicated that these meetings are very helpful to them because it gives them a quick understanding of the issues. And Susan McCabe is, because of her, because this is her business, and that being a former coastal commissioner, she has a built-in credibility and respect from the coastal commissioners and is easily able to arrange for these meetings. As far as her services, about a year ago, the JPA approved a contract with Susan McCabe, and in the staff report that was presented at that meeting, it was stated that an estimated cost of her services, the top end could be as high as $155,000. That would include about 12 months of services plus outside expenses. In discussions with Susan McCabe, recognizing that we were first aiming for a February Coastal Commission hearing and then perhaps an April, which is occurring right now, meeting, both of those meetings were unable to be scheduled, first of all because the Coastal Commission staff asked for some additional information, and then secondly, the executive director resigned and there was a reorganization which created some upward mobility for particularly the staff member who was working on our project. So her workload increased and they had to find somebody to unanimous in their recommendation that with the information that I've just given that we continue the services of Susan McCabe through the end of the project, through the coastal development permit phase of the project. Thank you. That concludes my report.
Okay, it's my understanding that Dylan Wade and Rob Livick also are participating in these meetings.
Yes.
And Dylan, could I ask you to come up and give us some kind of brief report on your perspective there?
Absolutely. Can you hear me? Yeah, I've attended two of the meetings with the coastal commissioners.
McCabe was present at one, Dennis was president at one, Bruce was president at one of those. McCabe attended both of them. I can say that we had better access to the coastal commissioners and an easier entry and got more time with them than I would have believed possible. I think Susan really has opened the door and facilitated the process, as well as during the discussion provided meaningful input and insight into our project. So I've been very impressed with her services and would just parrot Dennis's recommendation that we continue.
Thank you, Dylan. Rob Livick, you were in attendance there. Could you make a comment, please?
Yeah, I want to echo Mr. Wade's comments. I had an opportunity to meet with Richard Bloom, Mayor of Santa Monica, and Wendy Mitchell down in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago. And as Mr. Wade stated, I don't believe that we would have had the hour-plus time in meeting with each of those commissioners if the door wouldn't have been opened for us due to Ms. McCabe's relationships with those commissioners.
All right. Any comments from Morro Bay?
Okay. So what we're being asked to approve tonight, or I guess to administratively let pass through, we're not even being asked for approval, but It's for an extension to $155,000. So another, we've spent $80,000 on the lobbyist services to date and anticipate another $70,000 to get us through the permit hearing. And I've heard that we've had now meetings with four and another scheduled. So I'm finding myself wondering what we've paid a considerable amount of money to get us to where we are now. What do we expect to get from this additional 70 grand?
Well, the work is not done in communicating with the coastal commissioners. We do not have the staff's report and their recommendation yet, so that will be upcoming, of course, as the hearing is scheduled. There will be additional communication with coastal commissioners. These briefings that have been conducted so far are preliminary briefings. Once the staff report comes out, then there will be additional contact with the commissioners. We don't know if the coastal staff may have concerns about particular issues that may need to be explained or clarification. So it would her continued services would provide continued reaching out to the commissioners that we haven't met with, first of all, to provide the preliminary briefings, and then when the staff report comes out, then address any issues and concerns to be sure that all of the commissioners have the opportunity to understand all of the aspects of the project as we go to the hearing. Susan McCabe has explained that it gets real intense in the weeks just before the hearing once the staff report comes out. The intensity of the communication really picks up at that point.
But as you're saying, we don't anticipate. June is the very earliest and likely August. So if we can arrange a month-to-month contract as we can, considering how much we've already invested, why would we just continue this contract all the way through the process? Why not put an actual suspension on the project and then pick it up when we actually get this next round of reports and have a date that we can count on? It's been deja vu as we've watched this hearing date continue to jump forward. And you know, like you said, at one point we were here planning to be at the Coastal Commission this month, and we've heard that before. So I'm finding myself continuing to be uncomfortable with this expenditure, particularly because there's no performance incentive. We're still allowing Mr. McCabe to charge us these funds, and supposedly this has given us great confidence that we're going to end up with our permit, but there's no guarantees. And you'd think if she was as confident as it sounds like she is, then she would provide those guarantees to us.
Look like downtime to me. I'd say she's busy and they're busy. But that's what it looks like to me. Okay, Mr. Renz?
Comments from the Cayucas Board? Michael?
I was not a big supporter of hiring her to begin with, and my objection, aside from philosophically being opposed to the lobbyist, was the open-ended contract. And I think that our discussions and your negotiation has really put a cap on that. I mean, we're at the point now where we're more than halfway. I mean, and we really haven't kind of got the benefits yet. It's it seems we're going to get the real bang for the buck, if there is whatever bang for the buck is, we're going to get it out of this next $75,000, not now. I don't see, to me, I think there's more upside than there is downside in terminating that contract, if in fact she has agreed that she will be our representative through the completion of the Coastal Commission project. She is now assuming a substantial amount of risk. I have no idea. I mean, this could go on three more months or three more years for all I know, and we've got her on board for for $70,000. I think that's a pretty good deal at this point.
Thank you, Michael. Mr. Carmel, this asks for the recommendation is asked for consent. Should that be in the form of a motion?
Well, I think technically it's probably not necessary, but the recommendation is to consent to it, so to formalize it. So I would recommend that you take the action.
Okay, I would ask for a motion from Cayuga Sin for the staff recommendation. Oh, I'm sorry, Betty.
Thank you so much. Betty Winholtz again. I do have four questions. One is, I noticed that the reporting period only seems to go through the end of February, and because March has been over for 2 weeks, I'm wondering why the costs for March are not listed there. Another question is, once this part of the process is done with the Coastal Commission, does DUDEC pick that up then with the Coastal Commission, or is DUDEC involved now, or is it just McCabe and city staff? Do they play a role in this in any way? Have they been attending any of the meetings, or will they be picking that up? And if they are attending the meetings now, why do we have them and McCabe at the same time, since they're both lobbyists and working on our behalf? And so are they charging us for the time they're going there as well as McCabe, so we're being double billed? I just would like that clarification as well. And I guess and this is my faulty assumption, I thought because we had a lobbyist, our staff would not have to be involved outside of maybe Mr. Deltzeit. So I'm a little surprised to learn that our own JPA staff or city staff are having to use their time to go do that rather than their regular operations here for the city. I did that. And then I just want to comment on, I think the basic assumption here is that we need a lobbyist to get the permit. We're going to get a permit regardless. It may or may not be the permit that you guys want, but there's going to be a permit. So I think it's a little bit of a misnomer to state that we need her until we get the permit. There's going to be a permit with or without her. It just may or may not look like the permit that this board wants.
Thank you, Betty. Anyone else?
Good evening. Marla Dobriton, North Morro Bay. Another Morro Bay resident a couple of meetings ago mentioned that it's not hard to lobby the Coastal Commission, that he's done it, I've done it. Individuals can meet with the Coastal Commissioners. And if we have a staff who's well diversed in the project, and then we have our consultant that I thought we were hiring to work with the commission, I've had hour and a half, 2 hour meetings myself, not getting paid, presenting information, lots of information. And I think that because we're trying to put a square block into a round hole, that's why we found ourselves in this position where we're over put the square block into the round hole. Thank you.
Thank you, Marla. Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Jennifer Blonder, Vice Chair of Surf Rider. I'm also a second grade teacher, and just realized that after I heard how much you're paying this lobbyist, maybe I'm in the wrong profession. Wow, what a lot of money to be throwing around when it just seems to me if the project itself were stellar and blue ribbon winning, you wouldn't need that extra money to be thrown around because the Coastal Commission would look at it and go, wow. We really want to do this. You don't even need somebody to sell it to us. So I question just what kind of project you have going that you really need to sell it like that and keep pumping so much money into the sale of this thing. Why can't it just sell itself? And also, been to a lot of public meetings, and Mr. Enns It's very important to make sure the public has its comments. Please don't forget that.
Richard Margetson. I'm going to go back to what I've said before. Access to the commissioners is not that hard. I know when the Los Osos Wastewater Project, the first project, was going through the Coastal Commission, I think all but one commissioner met with the public and board members of the CSD, and there wasn't one of those meetings that was less than an hour. They were completely accessible. So at 155,000 at this point, to meet with five commissioners, that's $30,000 a commissioner. $30,000 a commissioner. And if she's the end-all, save-all for this project, why did staff have to be at these meetings? Is there any question that was asked at any of these meetings, other than maybe a process question of when it would get on the calendar or what the process would be for the hearing, those type of things, that staff couldn't answer in any of those meetings on what the project was, what some of the components were, answers for some of the issues the commissioners may have dealing with the project in the coastal zone and those requirements? That's what those meetings are about. That's what they're concerned about. And Mr. Yates continually has said, I've heard him at least four times say at these meetings or at the Morro Bay meeting, 95% of projects in California dealing with the Coast Commission have a lobbyist. That's absolutely false. Ask the County of San Luis Obispo how many projects they've been involved with. Ask Los Osos, ask Cambria, ask PISMA how many times they've employed a lobbyist to get a project through the Coastal Commission. You're going to find the answer is none. Recently, I think the county has in the past. County's not using a lobbyist now on the Los Osos Wastewater Project, the most controversial project this county has ever seen. There's no lobbyist handling this for the County of San Luis Obispo. It's being done by staff. $155,000. I don't see anything in the staff report that there's a contract revision that has come forward guaranteeing that she will do this for $155,000 to the end. Because there's times when this process, if the Coastal Commission changes this, this could go on for another year to 18 months. If they put a kink in the works, it could go on for another year to 18 months. You've already had how many delays? You don't have it in writing, I think, signed by her and signed by this board, that she's guaranteeing she will follow this all the way to the end for $155,000.
Thank you, Richard. Dorothy?
Dorothy Phones from Cayucas. And first of all, I'd like to say that I am in total agreement with Joan over here in what she said in the earlier comments. I think that what we have here is a few people from the community that come every month and say the same thing every month. And it's become obvious to me that one reason that they don't think we need a lobbyist is because they are lobbying the commissioners. They tell us how easy it is. Their voice be heard, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Steve Haney. Thank you, Dorothy. I don't think I've been to one of these meetings in probably about 9 months because I didn't want to be redundant speaking my opinion, which is basically all we're doing here. Public comment is our opportunity to voice our opinion, and everybody should be open to that, whatever polarity side you so choose. When it comes to lobbyists, that just happens to kind of be fingernails on a chalkboard to some people. It's not necessary to have a project that can't sell its own merit. When we have to pay somebody and we don't have the choice, we elect you, we're questioning the lobbyists. It's our right to get up here and voice that. Should never be looked down on by whatever side. I listen to whatever side is up here at this podium, and I'll take it all in. But I don't want to be criticized for being here every month, which I'm not, and voicing my opinion. Thank you. And Robert, Mr. Enns, please remember public comment. That's what this is all about.
Thank you, Steve. All right, I'll bring it back to the board's Morro Bay with any comments.
Further comments from Morro Bay. Mr. Smuckler.
Yeah, thank you. One comment would be that we did have a very enthusiastic crowd, packed house, actually, with our alternatives workshops that were hosted in Morro Bay. And that was a very wide variety of people, and I think the information that we received was excellent. There were strong comments of interest in looking at the alternative sites, encouraging us to do so. I think the important thing to recognize is this project has not changed one bit since those workshops, and we saw people throughout these meetings that have been showing up for a while and then tending to drop off, but overall it's something that we need to continue to work on, because we do need more of the public to be involved in this process throughout. And I do want to follow up on the comment about a written contract with Ms. McCabe, because the question has to be asked, is she just talking about the specific permit that we're applying for now, or with Coastal Commission's changes, if there are any, will her services be retained through the final issuance of a permit for this project, and how are we guaranteeing that?
She has said that she will cap her fee for the duration of this permit, however long that takes, and sometimes the Coastal Commission does not complete their deliberation in one meeting, so there could be continuances. But she said, as long as it takes on this permit that we currently have in, basically it's an appealed permit. So we're talking about the appeal that we're processing right now.
So can we see that in writing? I'm hearing you say she said, and she will, but I'm uncomfortable trusting that means what we're interpreting that to mean.
Yes, we can get that in writing.
And that would be presented to the board?
Yes, I can provide that to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Further comments from Morro Bay? No, thank you.
Comments from Cayucas?
I move that we retain Susan McCabe on her existing consulting contract as modified to cap her services at $155,000 through the permitting process of our wastewater sanitation project through the Coastal Commission, in whatever form that project morphs into. And if she's willing to provide those services for us, and that modification.
Okay, next item is item C1. Presentation of the draft recycled water feasibility study, and I believe Dennis has a PowerPoint presentation for us. Thank you, Dennis.
Yes, thank you. At the last meeting, the City Council and Board asked me to provide an overview presentation of the draft 2012 recycled water feasibility study. So I prepared some PowerPoint slides, which are over in that direction. And it's a quick executive summary overview that I prepared. It'll take about 10 minutes, so I'll go ahead and get started now. First of all, the study purpose was to comply with the Coastal Commission staff's request connected with the Coastal Development Permit appeal process that we're in right now. We want to be sure that we examine the technical feasibility and economic feasibility of treating and transporting recycled water to a beneficial use. Also, we want to provide an update to the information contained in the 1999 Corollo study, including sources of water supply, wastewater generation, potential opportunities for recycled water, and we'd like to update the cost estimates. One of the motivations for recycling water is to deal with an inadequate water supply. However, the water supply for Morro Bay and Cayucas exceeds the future estimated demand. Morro Bay has three sources of water: state water, well water, and desal water. And as you can see from the figures on the slide, the supply is approximately 3,682 acre-feet per year, and the estimated demand at full build-out is 1,548 acre-feet per year. The Cayucas Area Water Organization is made up of several jurisdictions, and the same is true relative to the supply and demand. You can see from the figures there that the supply does exceed the demand at full build-out as well for the Cayucas Area Water Organization. The study examined opportunities for using recycled water. There were 12 potential users identified for landscape irrigation, amounting to about 117 acre-feet per year. By the way, people have asked what is an acre-feet, some kind of a rule of thumb that they might be able to relate to. Roughly, it's estimated that three households use about 1 acre-feet, 1 acre-foot per year, so that might give you some idea. 1 acre-foot is about 326,000 gallons, and I know that's hard to visualize, but if you figure that approximately three average households use 1 acre-foot per year, that might give you some something to relate to. As far as agricultural irrigation, only one response was made to the survey that was sent out by the city recently, so potentially we have 500 acre-feet per year that could be used for avocado irrigation. Direct reuse, there are six potential users within Morro Bay amounting to 19 acre-feet per year. Groundwater recharge is not considered to be feasible at this time. There are a number of issues dealing with that, and I can get into it later if you wish. Seawater intrusion, there is none detected at this time. The city is reducing the pumping of their wells to be able to take state water as the first priority because state water comes at a relatively high fixed cost. So it is cost effective to take the state water first. So that has reduced the potential for seawater intrusion. Excuse me. Stream augmentation is not an environmentally preferred alternative, and it's heavily regulated. Reservoir augmentation is considered infeasible. The study examined recycled water opportunities. Oops, the slide didn't go. Excuse me. The study examined potential market assessments, and finding number one, For direct ag reuse, there are jurisdictional restrictions that would have to be considered. For example, serving areas outside the service areas of in having either the high school or the golf course use recycled water at this time. The study market assessment finding number 3 deals with groundwater recharge opportunities. The Chorro Basin offers the most potential benefit. Stream augmentation that could maintain 1.4 cubic feet per second, and that's for habitat, would allow additional sustained well usage and improve the reliability of the city's groundwater supply. Regulatory requirements would be extensive and costly as well. However, as I mentioned, the city has been pumping less groundwater due to the fixed cost of state water and the cost effectiveness of using state water as the first source of water supply. Cost estimates. The cost of recycled water, as you can see from the figures, exceeds the cost of the current potable water sources. Service Area 1 is within the city of Morro Bay, and based upon the estimated cost of infrastructure improvements in operation, the estimated cost is $4,690 per acre foot. Service Area number 2 is the Highway 41 Ag Corridor. The estimated cost is $3,380 per acre foot. Service Area number 3 is the Cayucas area. That's a very high figure because there's very little water anticipated to be used with a fairly high infrastructure cost. That comes out to $22,900 per acre foot, and obviously that option is easily eliminated. The cost of current potable water sources for state water is $1,570 per acre foot. Brackish reverse osmosis. Brackish water is the water that comes from the Morro groundwater basin, which goes through the desal plant to remove nitrogen and nitrates and salts. That's $980 per acre foot. Seawater reverse osmosis is $1,540 per acre foot, which is almost the same cost as state water. And wells, as you can see, are very inexpensive at $125 per acre foot. The study went through a theoretical analysis of eliminating the ocean outfall. We know that that there has been have been comments asking, can we eliminate the ocean outfall? So the analysis in the report assumed full reuse of the plant flow at full capacity, which is 1.5 million gallons per day, and also had to take into consideration the seasonal demand variation. And the conclusion is that the project is not feasible for the following reasons. First of all, there's not enough demand in Morro Bay and Cayucas for recycled water. To take care of the off-season storage, that is, the wet weather storage requirement would be about 160 million gallons. The cost for a storage reservoir, which would be a small lake, is in the range of $70 to $100 million. The environmental impacts would be substantial. To give you an idea of what the size of the lake would be approximately 50 acres, assuming the depth of water would be about 10 feet deep. Sizable pond or a small lake. The study team recommendations, first, is to upgrade to tertiary treatment at the current site. I should point out that the recycled water, the location of the treatment plants is not dependent on recycling the water. Recycled water can be provided at any of the three final locations. It's the cost to pipe and pump and deliver the water to these various locations that varies with the location of the treatment plant. So first of all, upgrade to tertiary treatment at the current site. Number two, upon completion of the upgrade, implement reuse as washdown and process water. Three, upon completion of the upgrade, continue to examine opportunities for local reuse. Four, collaborate with other stakeholders in the preparation of a salt and nutrient management plan. This relates to groundwater basins that are shared by various jurisdictions. So that doesn't mean that the city or the district would be taking the lead, but merely collaborate with the other stakeholders in these groundwater basins. Upon completion of the upgrade, invest land data every 5 years when the urban water management plan is updated. That urban water management plan is required to be updated every 5 years, so those activities will coincide together. Okay, now we're down to comments and questions. Comments and questions are welcomed in any of the following methods at the JPA meeting. There is a comment form online, and we have been receiving some comments online since this online comment form was placed about 3 or 4 weeks ago. You can submit written comments to the city or the district office, or you can submit written comments to the California Coastal Commission staff. And topical responses will be provided and included in the appendix to the study. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. I'll bring it back to the boards now. Nancy, would you like to ask Morro Bay?
Are there questions and comments from Morro Bay? George? Carla?
Without going into great detail, if you could just touch on the groundwater recharge and why it's not feasible. There's a lot of people in the community that ask about that all the time. And so if you could just address it in brief. Thank you.
Yes. Groundwater recharge is a process. First of all, there is a two-month detention time required, and that is from the point where reclaimed water is injected into the ground. There must be 2 months of theoretical travel time for the time that it gets from that point to where it's pumped out and used for domestic water or potable water. Calculations show that the distances would be there are actual distances shown in the report, but a couple thousand feet per well, which would require relocating many wells to make that possible. It would have to be highly treated, more so than what is proposed for our current plant. Would have to go through a demineralization process. I would say that the public has continued apprehensions about drinking or knowing that recycled water is being used for their water supply, apprehensions such as the pharmaceuticals and other materials that are in the waste flow that are very difficult to remove, and people are not currently sure of what the long-term effects might be. So I would say those types of issues come into play and are discussed in the report as reasons why it would be uneconomical and infeasible to go any further with recycling water through underground injection.
Thank you. And that's the process that's used in San Luis, right? Is that correct?
San Luis?
Don't they do it into the creek?
No.
Versus in the creek,
right? Theirs goes into the creek, and they recycle part of it that is used to water parks and ball fields.
Right. Thank you. I just have a lot of people asking all the time, so gives them the answer.
I just want to add one more point why water reclamation is not really feasible. It's basically the geology of the groundwater basins. Typically where groundwater recharge, the basin is like a basin. It's a bowl that the groundwater sets in. I've heard Mr. Wade talk about, our groundwater basins are small coastal aquifers that are more like flowing rivers down to the creek. You put that, or down to the ocean, you put that water in, it's going to basically flow out into the ocean.
Mr. Smuckler?
Yeah, thank you. I as reviewing this report, I'm finding myself not comfortable with the conclusions. I think we're assuming a lot when we say that Morro Bay is completely established and secure with our water interests. We have challenges in the Chorro Valley, which used to be our number one aquifer. The Morro Valley has still nitrate pollution and issues with flow. The State Water Project's future is entirely unknown, and we're basing our estimates on those costs on the existing project, knowing that there's going to be many changes and likely a requirement or demand from State Water to buy into the new system as they renovate and build a new system. So I'm thinking here, as we look at these numbers, we're making, if we install at the proposed site, I still haven't seen information about how we would be able to comply without then going out and buying additional space for the build-out and expansion requirements of the recycled or the reclamation facility. So I just wanted to say that I feel uncomfortable with the conclusions of this report, and that we're basing this this information on what appears to be very very short-term estimates of cost. And I'm again, the state water costs are, we're working with fixed costs now that are likely to be changed as the new state water project becomes more obvious of what the future the costs of that will be. So it's interesting. I think I have to agree that the groundwater augmentation or injection is not likely something that will fit for us. I think the ag irrigation and perhaps creek augmentation are better fits. And overall, I just find myself thinking that water going forward is going to be a value to us. I understand that we didn't receive many responses to our survey to the agricultural community, but I think we led with a number of $2,000 an acre foot or something along those lines, which doesn't really open up a conversation. I don't know what that final cost would be or the initial cost would be to the agricultural community, but I'm not surprised at all that not many responded with interest when we lead with that sort of a number. So I was interested in the last meeting when Mr. Enns brought the idea back about opening up better dialogue and communications with the ag community, and I hope that we pursue that.
Thank you. Mr. Yes.
May I respond to some
Please
of those comments?
Do.
Yes. I put back up the water supply adequacy up on the screen there just to show for the city of Morro Bay the supply far exceeds the build-out demand, and I understand your concerns for issues particularly with state water. That's a pretty good safety factor currently. However, then when you look at study team recommendation number 8, and I'll bring that forward here. Update the water supply and demand data every 5 years when the urban water management plan is updated. I think what that does is it gives the city and the district the opportunity to review on a regular basis any changes that might be occurring that would change the water supply situation. We looked at some other jurisdictions to see why they have spent large sums of money to recycle water, and we found that there was, in each of these jurisdictions, an identified necessity for them to do that. They had a water shortage, or they had a wastewater disposal problem, for example. So I think we've got it covered. And I believe, though, that this report should be considered to be something that's flexible and will be reviewed And as changes occur, the treatment plant that is being contemplated has the flexibility to provide recycled water. And if things change, then decisions can be made to deal with those changes.
My response to that would be that those decisions would be working within the limitations of whatever project it is that we build. And currently, we're planning on building on a site that is very limited due to space and the location. So what I'm saying is I haven't seen an evaluation of what this site can contain or how we would actually be able to, in the future, expand those operations to fit the needs of the recycled water and the potential of the recycled water. So it's more a statement about let's make sure that we're not locking ourselves in to a space now when 10 years from now we could be in the position of wishing we had an alternative plan or an alternative system in place to be able to respond to very likely increased water pressures due to drought, due to the state water requiring a further investment and so on. So, you know, Morro Bay, you looked at that chart that you had up there. Yeah, if the state water project was to always be able to deliver to us and there was no plan to renovate or renew that aged system, then we are looking good. We get 95% or sometimes more of our water from the state water project. But just talking about a zero ocean outfall scenario, and I think we're all talking about transitioning. The other thing that none of us have control over is what is the state going to require of us? The ocean outfall is here now. Will the state always allow ocean outfalls? You would think that they would recognize the challenges without an ocean outfall, but I'm not willing to trust the state on something like that. Are you?
Thank you. Are there further comments from Morro Bayside? All right, we'll turn it back to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Comments from Cayucas.
Yeah, I have one for Dennis or staff from Morro Bay. On the Prop 84 grant application process, what would be the amount and or percentage of the cost that you might expect to achieve by getting that, and what do you think the likelihood of that would be?
Likelihood's hard. That's a hard question to answer. It's a competitive grant process. Now, the Proposition 84 grant that we're pursuing is the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan is the program. And then the county has put together an application for a planning grant. I believe they're requesting $1 million for that planning grant out of a total of $12 million that's available. So at best, 1 in 12, I would guess, and probably a lot worse than that in terms of the probability. Our portion of it is fairly insignificant. We're actually asking for $40,000, which would be our piece of a regional reclaimed water study. Most of the other agencies aren't as far along in the recycled water process. They haven't looked at it as extensively and for as long as Morro Bay has. So we actually would take the money if we received it, and we would look at sort of capital and layouts and kind of get more technical on phase one, which was building off of this report. And that would be $40,000.
Thank you, Dylan. Any other comments from Cayucas? Michael?
Thanks for the presentation, Dennis. If my questions are answered in the report, please cut me some slack. I haven't read it in full. But is the math in there on how you came up with these $4,690 per acre and $3,380 per acre foot on the cost estimates of the recycled water?
Yes, I do. I can give you some background information.
Is it in the report?
They're in the report. I can cite some general information that perhaps would give you.
I just want to know.
Okay.
You don't need to.
It's easy. It's right here. I've got it easy. Okay. Page 52 of the report. If you want to make a note and check it out later.
Okay.
Assumes a state revolving fund loan, 20 years, 3% interest rate, life cycle. of the facilities, a 30-year life cycle, 5% discount rate, 25% risk contingency, 35% is added for soft costs and incidental costs. That would be costs for preparing the environmental documents, the design work, the construction inspection and management and so forth. There's a 25% contingency factor and 35% for additional costs. But anyway, page 52 has that. And then for each area, 1, 2, and 3, they're also identified in the report. Is that the kind of information you were wanting some feedback on?
Yeah, I just want to know how one could look at the assumptions behind that those estimates. And similarly, does the report identify the other areas or other sanitary districts or other water recycling districts where that have done this that and discussed the differences between ours?
I prepared a slide for that in the event that this question came up, in fact. So if the city council and the district board are interested, I can give you a quick overview of that.
Please go ahead, Dennis.
Okay. In the appendix, Appendix A of the report, it contains a comparison with other recycled water programs. City of Petaluma is one of the jurisdictions that was looked at. And as I mentioned earlier, recycling, the cost for recycling, for spending the kinds of money that it's necessary, is usually prompted by a need, either a water shortage or a need. Obispo is another jurisdiction that we looked at. Back in the early 90s, the city of San Luis Obispo did not sign up for state water, and they lived to regret that because they experienced a water shortage, and that required them to recycle some water to offset their potable water needs while they were waiting for the Nacimiento pipeline to be built. As you may know, the Nacimiento pipeline water is more expensive than state water, so it's either luck or good luck or bad luck, but Morro Bay made the right choice back in the early 90s because the state water is much cheaper than the Nacimiento water. So that is what prompted the city of San Luis Obispo to recycle. The community of Los Osos was one of the jurisdictions that was reviewed. The shallow aquifer in Los Osos is being contaminated with septic tanks, and the lower aquifer is being overpumped. The overpumping is causing is allowing seawater to intrude into the potable water source. And so Los Osos is highly motivated to reuse the water to offset the seawater intrusion and to correct their nitrate problem in the shallow aquifer. The city of Arcata, up near the Oregon border, their disposal point is the Humboldt Bay. And they have no buyers of their water, and so they had to clean it up to be able to discharge it. They also have the luxury of having lots and lots of acreage, so they have they've used effluent ponds extensively as a way of letting nature help treat it. So they've got a very attractive program. However, something that is not too well known. They're working on it and maybe have it solved by now, but they were fined over $400,000 from 2000 to 2007 for failing to meet the discharge requirements. Monterey Regional is a massive regional seawater intrusion barrier project to mitigate extensive and ongoing groundwater overdraft, and to reduce the need for freshwater supply, imported water, and desalination. And It's funded through assessment districts, which levy assessments on property taxes, but they also charge, in addition to that, $225 per acre foot. The $225 per acre foot sounds very low, but when you consider there are assessments on the properties as well that pay for the project, it's you're only seeing part of the picture with the $225 per acre foot. Thank you.
Mr. Delthite, I want to compliment you. I've read all of those, and I could not do that, what you just did, off the top of my head. Good job. Any other comments from Cayucas? Seeing none, Mr. Haney, thank you for reminding me. I'll allow you to be first if you'd like to speak. Public comment. All right. Marla, come on up.
Good evening again. Marla Jo Bruton, North Morro Bay. I find this recycled water program comparison interesting, especially with the community of Los Osos. And I believe what we heard was that Los Osos is highly motivated for recycled water due to high nitrates in their upper aquifer and seawater intrusion in the Los Osos groundwater, the lower aquifer. I was at a Central Coast Regional Board meeting last month, and there was a presentation by staff having to do with nitrate contamination in California, and more specifically within the Central Coast Regional Water Board area. And when I was there, they had a slide just similar to this, slide presentations, and they had highly impacted nitrate contamination in municipal drinking water wells. So from Salinas down to Santa Maria is basically the area here, which were included, right? I wasn't expecting to see one that were in the first four that contain Morro Bay. Yet highest priority to the regional board, Morro Bay is left out of that data. I'm trying to find out what that is, and they've asked me to ask the city, and I guess this would probably be Mr. Wade, and I don't need an answer right now, but just so you know, what that $1.5 million next to Morro Bay, where that money came from and what it was used for in addressing our highly impacted nitrate-contaminated municipal drinking water wells. I find it incredulous that Mr. Delzit staff at the last meeting and this meeting continues to tell the public that Morro Bay doesn't have a water problem. It's incredulous to me. And another interesting thing is on this recycled water, you know, cities that have common factors established for their reuse program, that you have the community of Los Osos, which is also in the Regional Water Board here. Yet the community of Los Osos didn't make it onto the most highly impacted nitrate contaminated drinking water well sources. If you understand what I'm saying, then you have to have some sort of question as to what politically is going on here. It's just incredulous. Everyone talks about Los Osos, there's nitrate, CDOs, $200 million sewer project, rip up their streets for collection systems, yet they're not on the most highly impacted nitrate-contaminated drinking water well list for this region. We are.
come on. I mean, it's makes it very difficult to sit out here and listen to this over and over and over again. I've submitted nitrate reports, issues, studies, and concerns to this board. I've submitted collections reports to this board. Not all of you were on there when I did it, but I've submitted those reports at many different levels within the state and federal government. But yet, I want to ask any of you, have you read the reports? No. Probably not. It's like blowing hot air onto everyone's bum.
Thank you, Marla. Any other comments?
Richard Margetson, I wasn't going to talk about one thing until Marla brought it up. She is correct about what happened at the regional meeting. Los Osos wasn't on the list. Los Osos is building a project for nitrates 1 milligram over the drinking water standard on average for the 26 test monitoring wells in Los Osos. 1 milligram over the drinking water standard. Last time it was tested. I guess my question is, do you realistically believe that the Coastal Commission is not going to put a condition on this project that you have a recycled component? They added conditions to the Los Osos project. There's an ag reuse component. The county currently is in negotiations with the school district to take recycled water for the play fields at the four schools. They're in negotiations to attempt to get the golf course in Los Osos to take water, which I've heard they're resistant to because of the salt loading issue. But I guess the other question that has to come up is what year is the state water contract come up for renegotiation? It's not that far down the road. It's going to be on top of you. And what's the cost going to be at that point? And yeah, direct injection, there's many requirements. That was a topic discussed in Los Osos to see if we could direct inject. But, and I haven't read the entire report, but was there any discussion about leach field recharge? And what their estimates of cost will be at that point in comparison to possibly saving your basin, because Marla's correct, your nitrate levels are higher than Los Osos.
Thank you, Richard.
APA, Barry Brannon, Morro Bay. Mr. Delzeit, withhold that. I'm looking at the numbers for the estimated cost of recycled water, and forgive me, but I'm having a very difficult time when I see that our seawater reverse osmosis cost, and I think that's probably one of the hardest things you can do is to clean up seawater for drinking. That's really hard to do, and you have it down at $1,500 per acre foot. Yet the estimated cost of recycled water for Morro Bay is about three times that much. And that's confusing to me when we're not trying to clean up seawater. So I heard all the percentage and the contingencies and 35%. And believe me, I've done a lot of estimating. All I'm saying is I'm having a very hard time accepting the numbers. It's beautifully done, but I'm having a very hard time. And I do know that when you get to the Coastal Commission, I don't believe they're going to accept them.
Thank you, Barry. Anyone else? Betty?
I'll reserve my comments for that are questions about basic assumptions that I think are false and send those to the Coastal Commission. My real question actually is politically motivated this evening for you. In light of Morro Bay having an election this spring, and I know Cayucos will be electing a new or having a runoff in the fall, my question is, how many of you have actually read this report? Because I thank you, because I actually believe this is, as the other speakers are, this is one of the critical components for the Coastal Commission. And you're going to receive this report tonight, which means you're going to accept it. And if you haven't read it, then I'm wondering to what degree you are representing this community and its best benefits, if you don't know what you're voting on. So I'm wondering if you're strong enough or brave enough to admit that tonight.
Any other comments? I'll bring it back to the boards. Morro Bay, any comments?
Anything down here, George? Oh, Mr. Day.
Yes, if you would allow me, I'd like to answer a question that was asked by Barry regarding the cost for reverse osmosis, the desal. The difference between all of the recycled water costs cover not only the cost of treating the water, but the cost of putting in the infrastructure, the pumping system, and the pipelines through the street to distribute the recycled water to the location where it's going to be used. In the case of seawater reverse osmosis, that's fresh water. The plant is already there. The pumping system, the pipelines are already there to supply the treated desal water as part of the city's potable water supply. So that's the big difference, is you've got pump stations and pipelines associated with the recycled water that you do not have with the current potable water sources.
Are there further comments?
We had the question about when the next round of state water contracts will come due.
Richard said he knew it, but I believe it's 2025 is when the original bonds come due. So I think that's the date.
Okay, George, Carla, anything? Noah, you through?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Comments from Cayucos? Okay, well, I just want to say, Betty, yes, I've read the report. I had a couple days where I was out of town with nothing to do, and it took all 2 days. It's very in-depth. If you, what Dennis has presented to you here is just a sketch of the surface. All of these numbers and how they were calculated and what assumptions they made were pretty amazing, the depth that they went to prepare this report. I was very impressed, at least with the